Back on the Jefferson Exchange and the News and Information Service of JPR, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Great fanfare accompanied the announcement of the birth of Hope Community Corporation in Eugene a couple of years ago. The plan was for Hope, for Housing Options Production Enterprise, to set up an old factory in West Eugene, cranking out manufactured homes to help with Oregon's great housing shortage. The shortage is, of course, that much worse because of all the manufactured homes lost in the September 2020 fires, especially in the Rogue Valley. Now we get a chance to catch up with Hope Community Corporation and what's been going on. Terry McDonald is the board president of Hope Community Corporation and, of course, the emeritus director for St. Vincent de Paul of Lane County. Terry McDonald, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. It's been a while.
It's been a while, and we're happy to be back.
Good to have you. So did Hope start while you were still running St. Vincent de Paul?
Well, the legislature approved the funding to get the factory set up in late March of 22, and I left my role as the director of St. Vincent de Paul in December of 23.
Okay, so with all the various ventures of St. Vincent de Paul, you've got lots of experience getting things produced. Was there some additional degree of difficulty with getting what you're doing at Hope off the ground?
Well, the most difficult part of course, was finding the facility and getting the facility retrofitted. So as you can imagine, there are not a lot of 100,000 square foot, very high ceiling buildings just floating around in the area. And so we were fortunate to find the facility we've got, but then we had to have it finally completely converted over. And actually the last of the conversion is happening this week. The last of the welding shop is going to be done. So it's actually, will be at that point a completely finished factory.
All right. Have you been able to make any homes then while the work has been going on?
Yes. The good news is yes. The first unit is rolling off, has rolled off. We're just waiting for the final approval from HUD. And then it's going to head off to the Talent Mobile Home Mobile Estates Cooperative.
Oh, wow. About a mile from my house. You'll be in the neighborhood. Talk about that, the process of starting up. You mentioned the legislature helped out. So how much seed money came from the legislature to get this going?
That was $15 million. And some of that money, of course, had to go into the retrofit. Some of it had to get into the factory set up. And, of course, we're keeping a cushion in back to make sure that we can make the successful jump from a few units to a lot of units.
Yeah, Pam Marsh in the state legislature obviously is in a district which lost a lot of homes in the Almeda Drive fire. How pivotal was she in playing a role in getting that $15 million?
Well, the short answer is it was her baby. Just for all of your listeners, you should be very pleased to have her as a representative for your area because she's a constant advocate for housing and housing development in Southern Oregon, as a matter of fact, statewide. So she was a pivotal figure in this whole development.
Was that the only infusion of money? Were there other people who put stuff in? You are a nonprofit, so it's not like you're going to have stockholders in the early days and things like that. But
No. We also had a little bit of funding come through a tax credit deal. It's called the New Market Tax Credit that came in as well. But basically, we've been just working off that funding to try and make sure that we get the factory up and running.
All righty. Talk about the facility, American Steel. What's the history of that building, Terry?
Well, the building was built in 1958, and it was built for the timber industry. So American Steel used to fabricate a lot of the timber equipment for the industry around here. That, of course, collapsed in the 1970s and 1980s. And American Steel walked away from the facility, and it was basically mothballed for the next 40 years, just sort of a large warehouse, but not being used for its original purpose. So we were very fortunate to be able to acquire the building almost immediately after Pam got the funding from the legislature.
And how hard was it to find such a bit? I mean, there can't be many of them around like that, as you mentioned, with the kind of space you needed and the kind of height you needed.
No, it was a fortuitous, shall we say. St. Vincent de Paul had been looking at this building for mattress recycling. That's a bill that was passed also in the 22 legislature, and we need a large facility to do that. So this one we found it as a result of a real estate agent saying that it might be available. But then when it became obvious that there was going to be funding for Hope Community Corporation, we basically pivoted of it and said, well, this is a better facility for mobile home manufacturing than for mattress recycling. So we just shifted.
Terry McDonald is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Board of Directors President for HOPE, Housing Options Production Enterprise. HOPE Community Corporation starting to roll out units of manufactured homes to help with Oregon's housing shortage. The first one, as you heard, coming to a mobile home park that was largely destroyed in the Alameda Drive fire in Talent. We are live. We can take your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. You were talking about the space requirements. Why so much height needed, Terry?
Well, if you've been to a manufacturing facility for mobile homes, you have to run it down a production line, obviously station by station. And in doing so, you know, you have the roof gets on the building and it has to go further down and you have to be able to work on the roof. And so you need a very tall building in order to get the cranes and the catwalks to work on the roof and the roof assembly. So it does require a very significant higher facility.
You mentioned the work that had to go on. So there was apparently a fair amount of retrofitting or renovation to set up for building homes.
Yes, since it was a steel fabrication building, the sprinkler system, of course, was not set up for a manufacturing and mobile home system, which is largely wood. So that had to be redone. All the electrical had to be redone. The ramps had to be put in. We had to cut holes through the walls. We had to redo the floor. So there was a fair amount of retrofit that had to be done. The building had basically, as I say, been non-occupied for substantial period of time for anything other than just warehousing.
And then so the process of when we were able to, I don't know, what is the first step? It's not like a ship where you lay the keel first. What do you do when you're building a mobile home first?
Well, the first thing you do is you make the frame, the chassis with the wheels on it. And then once that's done, you roll it into the first station. And on a separate table, you're laying out all of the floor assembly and the insulation and the plumbing and the electrical that goes through the floor in a typical home. And then that is lifted up by a crane and taken over and put on the chassis. And then that moves to station number two. And station number two, the median walls, the walls that are 14 foot wide that run through a building, they're placed on the chassis. And then the next layer after that, the long side walls, so either 48 or 52 foot walls are put up. And then after that, the next station, roof trusses, and so on down the line until you get to the end of the process where after all the sheetrocking and plumbing and everything else is all done and the appliances installed and windows are all placed in, then it rolls out the factory at the other end. So it's 18 different stations.
Wow. And then how many people does it take to man those stations, to staff those stations?
Well, when we're fully operational, it should be about 100 staff.
Mm-hmm. And what is it now, though? I mean, how many people do you have at the moment?
I have about 30 people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So some gearing up still required. And I know you had talked about, upon the launch announced 2 years ago, trying to make some deals with the various trades to get people trained and get them to you. How have those conversations gone? How's the process?
Well, it's a fantastic process. As a matter of fact, we've had an agreement with Lane Educational Service District, Lane ESD, to have the 14 area high schools send students that are interested in the building trades actually come and work on the floor and shadow our staff. And they've been doing that for the last 6 months. And actually four of the young people that graduated this year from high school are now working for us. So it's a pipeline of young people that are interested in these kinds of trades, everything from, you know, framing and construction, drywall, roofing, whatever else, to come and get a hands-on look at how the industry works in a classroom type of setting. So you're not going out to a wet site out in the middle of wintertime. You're actually inside of a factory where it's continuously being produced. And so they get a full view of what a manufacturing facility and what manufacturing trades look like. So at any given time, between 30 and 60 kids are coming through per day.
We talked to Team Oregon Build last week, and I know Lane ESD is involved with that. Was that part of the crew that came to you?
Yep.
Ah, Okay. We're talking to Terry McDonald, who's the Board of Directors President for Hope Community Corporation, Hope for Housing Options Production Enterprise, building manufactured homes in an old factory in West Eugene. We are live. We can take your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. And then in terms of where these go, I mean, you're clear on where the first one is going, but how about the rest? I mean, are you building on spec and worrying about who's going to buy them later, or how's that whole working out?
Well, St. Vincent de Paul has 8 mobile home parks, actually 9 mobile home parks scattered throughout the state. And all those mobile home parks have older pre-76 mobiles in there, and we're trying to get those replaced. And one of the reasons why we wanted to have the control of the manufacturing facility was that we wanted to make sure that we had access to these units on a regular basis. So a bunch of the products are going to be going to St. Vincent de Paul, so the next bunch of them that are actually coming off the line are going directly to St. Vincent de Paul. We also, of course, heard from other housing authorities or nonprofits that are doing the same type of stuff that need to have units. And then as long as a family is low income, we're more than happy to sell the product directly to them. It's a very competitive price. They're all NEEM certified, meaning they're super energy efficient and very well built, very nice constructed project. That we think is going to be quite attractive in the marketplace.
I was going to ask you about the price, and you say it is comparable to what's on the market now?
That's a little bit below, $70,000 for a single-wide, two-bedroom, one-bath, 728-square-foot unit.
And is that single-wide, double-wide? How have you configured these?
That's a single-wide. The double-wide is a three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,344-square-foot unit that has, it's a very nice, it's a double-wide unit, it's 28-foot wide. So that unit is going to be suggested original selling price at $110,000.
You mentioned the issues. Well, not issues really, but just in trying to get geared up with the factory and trying to get people in there to work on things, just to get cranked up to full speed here. What about materials? Have you run into any issues there, given the various supply chain issues of recent years?
That has actually pretty well mitigated itself out. That was a real problem during COVID. After that, as we've kind of returned to a more normal pattern, supply chain issues seem to have been somewhat mitigated.
And what about cost, though? I mean, inflation has hit so many
things. Well, there is inflation. Yeah. And that's why the first 20 units that are coming off the production line, we've got at a fixed price at $70,000 for the single wides. After that, of course, we'll have to adjust associated with what the market is.
And which way do you think that'll adjust?
Well, I think that we can all expect that the prices today are not going to be the prices tomorrow, and they'll probably be up.
Ah, okay. So, Terry, talk about the fact that you're doing this as a nonprofit. I mean, Hope Community Corporation is its own nonprofit, right?
That is correct.
Okay. And in doing, being done, in, there is still this partnership with St. Vincent de Paul, which, of course, is also nonprofit. Are you getting any static from for-profit builders about entering this market with the help of public money?
No, we haven't. As a matter of fact, we've had substantial help from the industry. The truth is that we're addressing a market that is not necessarily a primary market for the industry, and that is people at lower income or else housing authorities with very specific needs. So, to be honest, I think that we're a complement rather than a competition to the industry.
And how, for example, did that first unit end up being marked to go to Talent Mobile Estates? Is that because that is going to be a park owned by the residents?
Well, we wanted it down in Southern Oregon largely because the impetus toward developing this process was because of the Almeda fire.
Mm-hmm.
There was clearly going to be a need to have more housing, not only of mobile homes, but housing across the board. But with the fires in Southern Oregon, especially with Marcia's help, it really took on a life of its own. So it seemed only appropriate the first unit that came out of this because of that terrible tragedy would actually go to an area that was affected by the fires.
Mm-hmm. And when is that unit supposed to arrive in Talent?
Well, we're hoping to have it down there before the end of this month. Depends on how well they've got the site prepared. The house is done. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it sounds like you're getting ready to crank up. When do you think you'll hit full speed in production? You were hoping to put out 4 a day at your peak. Is that within sight?
That'll, of course, be down the road. We'd like to get to the production point of two a day by the time we get to the end of this year. We'll have to depend, of course, on what the market says and what the orders look like. But and, of course, the labor. Getting the labor is always an issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, more to come, clearly, for Hope Community Corporation, Hope for Housing Options Production Enterprise, the first mobile home expected to be in manufactured home in Talent by the end of the month. Terry McDonald is the Board of Directors President for Hope. Thanks so much for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure. You be well.
All right, you too. That'll do it for this portion of the program. We'll be back on the Jefferson Exchange in just a bit.